non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt. She hung up on me.
Yes!
What?
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 Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. This is the gospel heard around the world. I'm not sure. Is that
okay? It's all of us.
Is it all of us?
Sounds
okay,
like some
good
popcorn in
there. Yeah, it's a little poppy there. Are you getting that too, Marcus? No. Okay. Well, then good. We're good. It's just on our side then.
Just ignore it.
It's probably our situation. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Gospel Heard Around the World. We are coming at you from Phoenix, Arizona, and have another exciting episode for you guys today. I think you guys are really going to love and appreciate. Well, at least we are. We're going to have a good time, I think. We have a special guest live in studio with us, and we're going to introduce you to him in just a second here. You guys probably already know and love him. But I'm also here with Luke the Bear.
What's up? Usually you finish that, so that's the second time today you've done that.
What? What did I do?
Usually you say Luke the Bear Pearson, and so I'm waiting
Pearson
for it, and that's why it's an awkward delay.
That's the bear.
I am here.
That's the bear. And Joy the Girl.
Hello.
And Marcus King Ginger Pittman.
How's it going?
And let's go ahead and introduce, we have a special guest today. He is, he's been on before with us on Apologia Radio. He's been here at the studio before. He's been here doing stuff with us. He's been here doing stuff for himself. And his new movie comes out October 2nd. It drops. You can get it on DVD. You can get it on that Blu-ray. You can get it on dem internets. You can stream it. You can
do whatever
you like. December the 2nd, you can get it at CalvinistMovie.com. It is Arminian the Movie. No, it's Calvinist the movie. Calvinist, the movie Calvinist. I always get it backwards. And he started the Reform Pub online. If you guys aren't a part of that group, you should be part of that group. It's a lot of fun. And he also has a little podcast called Reform Pubcast. And I didn't mean that in a derogatory manner. Okay,
it's a great little podcast.
Yeah, it's a great little podcast.
The Pubcast.
It's the Reform Pubcast. And his name is Les Lanfear. Les, welcome to Apologia Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Can you just do it one time just for us here? Can you do it's the Reform Pubcast?
It's the Reform Pubcast.
That was really cute.
Oh, it's cute. All right, so here we are in the studio. If you guys didn't get a chance to check out next week, our late night talk show, Tuesdays, 10 p.m. on our Apologia Studios Facebook page. If you didn't check it out, go check it out. It was last night, and we did some fun stuff on Christian film and media, and then we had Les on, and we talked about Calvinist.
Best episode ever.
That's right. It was really, really good. And so if you didn't see it, go check it out. It's probably going to be on YouTube by the time this drops as well. So here we are. Before we actually leap into all the fun stuff, the discussion about the movie, the theology, Reform theology, Joy has some cool stuff she wants to talk to us about. So Joy, bring us into the discussion today with some fun stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so as you guys know, I like to keep you all updated on the super important news.
Yes, that's right. Yes,
like the fish falling from the sky.
This is what we pay you for.
And the Cheeto restaurant.
Yes.
Okay, so
is that gone now? By the way.
Yep.
Sad.
Hopefully, it comes back.
That's
also
unfortunate.
Also gone is the Cheeto Beatus.
I did make
Cheeto.
I made Flamin' Hot Cheeto fried cheese sticks.
Whoa!
About a week and a half ago, and it was pretty delicious.
Did you have to get insulin afterwards?
I only ate two of them because, you know, probably 10 years ago, I'd have been like, I'll eat the entire 15, 16 of those. I can spot those a mile off.
Now hot Cheetos will mess you up.
Yeah, now I'm like Two's good. I should probably stop there.
Speaking of being messed up, there's a lady pooping in people's yards as she jogs by.
So,
so
it's like a jog by pooping.
Okay, so the small neighborhood of Summerfield in Colorado Springs is under the plague of this pooping woman who is known as the Mad Pooper, which if you watch Bob's Burgers, you'll know, you'll get the reference there. Mm. Anyway.
So it's a real news story.
So what she
does, make this up.
So what she does, and they're looking for her. They don't know who she is. They have pictures of her, but they don't have a name.
She's not been caught yet.
No.
Wow.
They only have pictures of her like running. So what she does is
she jogs. Intrigue.
She jogs through neighborhoods and will occasionally drop trowel and use the restroom.
Okay.
And use a restroom in people's yards or in nearby parks or whatever.
I was kind of relieved. Pun. I was relieved that you said that she did stop and drop.
She
trowel.
Does stop.
Like,
yes.
Okay.
I
was imagining that she did not stop.
Yeah, but so here's the interesting thing is she, as far as I, from what I'm reading in this article, she just jogs around all day. There's a lady, she had an actual interaction with someone. She pooped in this lady's yard. And this woman goes, "Are you really taking a poop right here in front of my kids?" And the woman replied, "Yeah, sorry."
So maybe the thing
apologetic.
Here is that she is not actually trying to be vindictive. Maybe she's just really into the sport, and she has got to do what she's got to do. She's not trying to hurt anybody, but
so
she is.
Here's the thing: is someone put up a sign that she jogs by. And it says, "To the female jogger that continuously uses our walkway as her toilet." It was the same woman that talked to her, put up this sign. She said one day she saw her run past the sign 15 times.
15? How have they not caught this woman?
I know, she's jogging around all day. Like, why aren't the police just... cruising the neighborhood? Because she's obviously running all day. That's all she does. She doesn't have a job.
Speaking of Calvinism, this music is providential. This is the epic music to have for the pooping jogger.
Now my mic's out, I think. Is my mic
no,
out?
No, it's fine.
No, you're good. It's
okay.
Fine.
It's fine.
Even if it is, it's fine.
I can hardly hear. Anyways.
Can you explain that music reference real quick?
That's Tron.
Right.
Yeah. That's, but it's epic for just, it's,
oh, it's yeah, it's okay.
You can gotcha.
Jeff picture. Just likes Tron.
Yeah,
picture,
I love,
so it's
I love
fine
in
for
her
anything.
In your mind, picture just slow motion. She got the neighborhood running behind her, chasing her right now, waving the hands.
Maybe that's, she's in really good shape, so they just can't catch her.
That's the thing.
Yeah. She's just gone.
This is the benefit of being a jogger who does such things.
They could at least put out the, like, little doggy bag things like they do around here.
That's not a bad
idea. At least have her clean up after herself.
Yeah, I mean, is she wiping?
I have no idea.
I've seen, now that I think about it, now I didn't realize this is going on so long. This has actually been happening for a while. I saw the video, like, probably a year ago of her doing it in someone's yard.
It's still happening?
Yeah. Every once in a while. And so they cannot figure out who
so
she
elusive.
Is. They have pictures of her in her jogging.
Slick, that lady is.
I mean, well, and honestly, like, if you were a police officer or anyone, and you came across a woman pooping in a yard, like, you wouldn't be like, put your hands behind your back. No. Like, you'd be like, I don't want to deal with this.
Right.
But yeah, so it's been going on a long time. And when she's caught, she will be charged with public urination and defecation.
When they catch the poopetrator, it's going to go down.
And in this article, definitely used all of the puns, if you can imagine.
Oh.
It's written by a child.
Very punny.
So the people of Summerfield in Colorado Springs are done.
Our hearts go out to you, Summerfield.
Yes.
Yes,
I think I found a better song, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
For this?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead, please. Yes. Chariots of Fire right there, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, now I can see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it anymore.
No.
Stop.
Wait,
I don't like it.
No, you have to leave it. You have to let everyone experience it.
I don't think we should be giving this woman any inspiration.
Here's where she looks around the corner to see if anyone's there.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think she cares if anyone's looking.
Here comes
this music is making it like high def in my mind. Like, I see exactly what's going on here.
Okay, more news.
It's just so weird. She just looks like a regular lady. I don't understand.
Do you think she's at home right now just laden with guilt?
No, she's victorious.
Everybody's after me.
I think she's fine.
What do you think has become a thing? She's actually like, this is my thing.
The thing is I just don't, like, who jogs the same jogging path 15 times in one day?
Yeah, there's something wrong.
Steven Anderson does.
She has some sort of
Steven Anderson does. He jogs barefoot, which would be a bad choice with this lady running around.
Luke also runs with bare feet.
Does he?
Because I cover him up.
Oh, bare feet. That's so funny.
That was a good dad joke. Thank you. I don't believe Steven Anderson that he runs in the... Not in the summer he ain't running barefoot.
No, he does. Candy has seen him.
Barefoot in the summer.
Barefoot in
the...
Yes. He does.
He really must walk on coals then.
Yeah.
He's just embracing that crazy thing, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Running around barefoot? Does he have a reason?
If you look, you will see the mad pooper and him running around their jogging buddies.
Well, his doctrine's from the pit of hell, so maybe his feet are just primed.
Okay.
Okay, onward.
Is there what? Can I share one more thing?
Yes.
Okay, so if you guys are at all interested in dad bods or fanny packs.
I was born with a dad bod.
Mm-hmm.
This is I have the OG dad bod.
I think we all were born
bod.
With dad bod, which
I don't
is
know.
Weird.
I was like a little skinny frog with no butt.
You were like your son, Turtle.
How come is that? Little babies look like little frogs. No butt.
They look like aliens to me. Yeah. Anyway, so...
Aliens aren't real.
Now...
Juked.
Okay. I want to just like... nerd out on you, but
please.
I definitely know more than aliens about you. I mean, more than you, so just hush.
You know that they don't exist. So what is there else to talk
like,
about?
I could tell you stories.
Can we just do it? Can we talk about aliens for a minute? Can we just do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I do want to do the dad bod and the feet.
Okay.
We don't actually have to talk about aliens.
No. I do.
I don't know anything about.
Oh,
them.
Okay. Oh. I just will do it.
Joy's
like, whoa, we'll do it. What do you want to talk about? Anunnaki?
Aliens are amazing.
She's very excited.
They're the most amazing, not real thing.
Yeah. You want to talk about Anunnaki, Nibiru, Planet X? What?
Oh, yeah.
You want to read some Anthony Sitchin?
Planet X is coming up in 3 days.
See? That's right. September 23rd.
September 23rd.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Well, maybe we should keep quiet. Yeah. That way we're not targets.
That's right.
I could say a really geeky theology thing. So when I first came to understand the fact that Jesus... after his resurrection, he's in heaven, you know, and we're going to be glorified like him. So when Christ was incarnate, he took on a body that he'll never abandon, right? So like flesh, human flesh, mm-hmm. will be in heaven or on new heavens and new earth eternally.
Right.
So when I realized that, the first thing I thought for some reason is, oh, that means that even if we ever did find life on another planet, even if we found like legitimate humanoid Martians or something, we know that however God feels about them, he doesn't care about them the same way he does for us,
right.
because Jesus became a human.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Which is, I know that's a ridiculous thing I just said.
No.
But,
no, it's not at all.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. I think that's
These
amazing.
These are the conversations the Christian has regarding mm-hmm. aliens.
That's good stuff.
Nice.
It's actually good. It's a good contribution.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks,
Great.
Guys.
I'm glad you flew all the way up to Florida for that.
Yeah.
That's really, why we had you
I feel really good about myself right now.
Okay.
6 hours of flying for that.
That's what
little
that's
nugget
what does
of truth.
That's
right. The Apollo Pubcast.
Yes.
I mean, if people from 100 years ago knew that you flew all mm-hmm. the way across the country, they'd be like, you're an alien. You're an alien.
You're an alien. You flew in that spaceship.
The Reform Pubagia. Okay.
Okay. But so anyway, dad bod.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Back to dad bod.
Yeah, right. It's a sore spot for me. It's beginning to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
going to. You know what?
I'm going to stop it, Joy.
You know what?
I embrace
dad
it a
bod
long time
is
ago.
Not a negative thing, though.
Yeah. It's like it's. It could be said that a lot of chicks are kind of
right.
into it.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of girls like dad bod. I mean, I wasn't going to say that because, that's not what you're going for because you're married.
Right.
As long as Candy likes it.
Right. I'm okay.
Although she wants you.
But here's the thing, though. My wife, I'm not so sure because she, laughs about it. She's like, look at that. She's like, look at the dad bod.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But women just don't care. That's
right.
the thing.
Right.
You know, she doesn't care.
Really,
she's
we
like,
really
oh,
don't.
Nice dad bod.
Just
we really
just
don't.
Be a great husband and dad. And
right.
that's all
I'm trying, Doss. I'm trying.
Right.
Aren't we all?
Okay, so if you don't have a dad bod, okay, but you'd like to have a dad bod,
okay,
they now
it's
have
hard to do.
A, right, you could just, there's many things you could do to achieve that.
Start with those cheese are. Sticks. Some more of those cheese sticks.
Starting with Flamin' Hot Cheetos cheese
Go to the Cheetos restaurant. Mm-hmm. Don't jog and mm-hmm. don't poop in people's yards.
Mm-hmm. Hold that in.
Just some basic respect is all we're asking for, ma'am.
Seriously, she was like, yeah, sorry.
I'm sure most of the neighborhood would be like, all you got to do is knock and ask.
Well, okay, so the thing is, not to like totally take us off the dad bod thing, because it's important.
We got
to
get back to this dad bod thing.
So the lady that they interviewed said, at the park a mile away, which she's an avid jogger, so a mile is like nothing for her.
Right.
There are public restrooms
eight
at that
minutes.
Park.
It's 8 minutes, ma'am.
I mean,
put
she
a porta potty where that sign is, right? Is
I think she would still go in the yard. I think she's not well.
Right.
Yeah.
And why haven't they caught her?
That's the mystery.
Okay. Can somebody make a documentary? Your next movie.
Last.
Maybe
number two.
Maybe she's bringing.
You didn't even know you were doing it.
Maybe she's bringing a lot of tourism into the community, and
I know people are like, are coming like
to, it's like the Sasquatch. They're like looking for the mad pooper.
If you look off to your left, you will see the mad pooper. There she is. No one knows her name.
Right.
But you can see her.
Don't even try to catch her.
Keep your eye out.
You can't catch her.
You will see her.
She's like a leprechaun.
It's like the safari park. Anyways.
Dad bod.
So okay. Dad bods, I can promise you people with dad bods poop sitting down because they ain't doing it jogging.
Okay.
So tell us about the dad bods.
I think most people poop sitting on a toilet and not in someone's yard.
I was just sitting
there. By the way, if anyone wants to say, this show, and you're talking about this. This isn't the news, folks. If Christians aren't going to talk about it, who is?
You guys, I think.
You know, what,
at first, I asked Jeff. I was
what
like,
happens when we get less here?
I was like, is it unladylike for me to talk about poop? But I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a natural thing.
I think I've already. It's just gone.
It's
nobody
okay.
thinks I'm
hey,
a lady.
This is why people listen to our show. It's for the silly to searing in seconds. We'll get we'll get to the searing in just a moment. For now,
in seconds,
we're talking about we're talking about the news. So dad bod.
Okay,
so you can get a dad bod fanny pack.
Okay,
it is a fanny pack. You guys, for those of you who don't know what a fanny pack is, it's a
you
little,
probably
it's a little
have
pack,
a beard if you don't
it's
know.
A little pack that you like clip around your waist. And you can keep stuff in it.
Oh my gosh,
so this fanny pack looks like a
Did you
real.
See the varieties?
The outside of it is a realistic looking stomach with a belly button. They have a bunch of different skin colors, varying degrees of hair on it, and it looks like
different skin tones.
Legit stomach.
It looks it looks completely realistic.
Yeah, and so it looks like you have a little pouch hanging out of your shirt. Yeah.
You can also see those at Walmart.
Fanny packs are a result of the fall.
Only real.
They are not
real.
They're not supposed to be worn by men. And so I think this makes a very good gag gift if it's ultimately in mockery of fanny packs.
Right.
Because they're
someone that has a clean shaven face.
Right.
Mm.
So people that wear these would generally be men with no hair on their face anyway. So
Well, this and I'm just gonna say that every single person that they have pictured showing one, wearing one, is a very thin.
No facial hair.
Very thin.
No, I that's
well, but this one doesn't have his face in it. I don't know.
I
can't say definitively that person
doesn't. I mean, that looks like a woman.
Wearing a fanny pack, he has given up the right to wear a face.
To wear a face?
Wear a face.
Only faceless people.
If you wear a fanny pack, just let us know and we'll show up for your face removal. Now that sounds like alien stuff right there.
It does.
Someone's going to listen to this and be like, that part where they talked about aliens not being real, that was all just a deflection.
Yep.
Right.
So that we wouldn't notice that they're aliens.
That are really reptilian.
Right.
Illuminati, y'all.
This is a spooky episode.
It is.
One more. You have one more story. You have one more thing to tell before we go on. And that was about feet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I don't recommend you actually go
here. Don't do it.
Because
wait,
it's
what do you not...
not...
Wait, what do you... Say it again.
Okay, so I don't recommend that anyone actually go to this. That's why you were pulling that up earlier. I never know, but you always surprise.
Yeah. I'm impressed, actually. Not even angry.
You really took a gamble there because she might not have even prefaced it with that.
I know.
You were right.
You were
ready, just in case.
This is 5 years of radio. I know.
Okay, so please don't go, girl.
Okay.
And or boy. Please don't go, boy.
Yes.
Especially boy.
Right, especially boy.
Yeah.
Because some of the images are not totally 100% appropriate.
Yeah.
But there is this thing called Wiki Feet.
Mm.
It's on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a large compilation of celebrity feet pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Foot pictures? Feet pictures.
I'm pretty sure Tarantino is behind this. He has to be.
It could be. I wonder if he at least spends some time on there.
Is that public knowledge that Quentin Tarantino has a foot fetish?
Yeah.
Yes. He has, if you watch his movies, there's always like shots of feet, and his like leading lady always has feet shots.
Oh.
Yep.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's very into that. He would be very into Wiki Feet. Quentin, if you're listening, you're not. Ugh. But I recommend for you.
No.
Do I recommend?
No.
Please don't go,
don't.
Girl.
Don't go, girl.
Feet are gross.
Well, yeah, but apparently not for everyone.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
Wiki
I'm not
Feet
a fan
exists.
Of feet.
Yeah.
But so yeah, it's just every celebrity you could think of, it's pictures of their feet.
But if there was if you could make a choice in today's society with the obscene photos and the like sexually driven advertisements, if you could have like something like you say, it's okay, you're not going to have that, but you're going to have people that like feet sells. Right, feet.
Feet.
I think
cells?
That's. I think it's more perverse, though.
Right. Well, you think but, so?
Like, yeah, because.
Oh, there's
if you
definitely
like,
some
at
perverseness.
If you like feet,
but
tends to be like a.
Yeah.
Like,
what if like every advertisement, everyone's covered up? I'm talking like Salt Lake City. It's blue denim dresses, neck to feet, but it's just all feet. It's like they're selling that advertisements. At least that's.
I don't
wouldn't
know.
Be as obscene as like what we have to deal with today. Like, I'll take the feet over the obscenities of today. Right? Yes? No? I'd be totally grossed out by it, but...
But then the people that... Yeah, if that's something that you like, then you like it for weird reasons.
Yeah. People... It's like a fetish for people.
You know, there's
like...
There's like some cultures where like...
I was going to say the
same
thing.
Yeah, like the women don't wear...
Burqa. Like burkas, well, where only your eyes are showing.
I wasn't even...
Oh, you weren't going to say that.
I would say where, like, they don't wear like shirts, so they're bare-chested, and it's fine, but like they have their legs covered.
Right.
Because like the legs are like the thing.
Or even, in like Muslim countries
where
you're like, all you can see is their eyes
are
in a full-body burqa, so they just like focus on the feet or the eyes.
Yeah.
Like you know, you make a sexual object out of anything.
Yeah,
whatever you can.
That's true.
But here in the United States, people who intend, they like feet. They like them. They're not just like neutral.
Yeah.
At least,
weird.
Pornographic, like sex sells kind of thing it's a perversion of a natural desire.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're into feet, like, God didn't intend that.
That's definitely a result of fall.
Yeah.
Those feet are made for
is
walking.
That yeah. Is that biblical?
That's where you should have pulled that song in.
But like feet, I don't know. That's interesting. That's a very interesting
feet are
thing.
Utilitarian. That's they have a purpose. I mean, you know,
so
my wife has very pretty feet, but I'm not like
I
into
don't,
them.
I don't think there exists a pretty foot. I do not like feet.
I think they're pretty. I like my kids' feet.
They're I like them, but
feet.
Adult feet, no.
They're
keep your feet away from me.
That are pretty.
I can appreciate a good foot.
Women,
you keep saying you got something for me.
No, I don't continue.
Women put a lot of time into their feet looking nice. Confess.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say that there are no pretty feet. But to be into them is different than acknowledging that they can be aesthetically pleasing.
Hey, you got a nice foot.
Right.
That's fine.
These boots nice feet over there.
Okay.
If I can tie this all together now, so we've mentioned in this first segment, feet.
Yes.
Steven Anderson.
Yes.
Calvinism.
Yes.
Bare feet.
Yes.
Aliens.
Aliens.
Dad bods.
Fanny packs.
Didn't Steven Anderson do a message, poop within the yard?
No, no, I don't think so.
No.
Not yet. It's bad. It's
not yet.
All right. So anyway, we're going to finish the segment up with this final special thing for Joy. It's something we haven't gone back to for a while, but hello, it needs to be done. Message.
Yes, sir.
For our new listeners.
Glory.
And I'm going to yell at you because I'm mad at you. I can't. Take it. Give me a sign or something. Blow this pain out of me. Give it to me tonight, Lord God Jehovah. If you won't give me back my wife, give me peace. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give me peace. Give me peace. I don't know who's been fooling with me. You are the devil. I don't know. And I won't even bring the human into this. He's just a mutt, so I'm not even going to bring him into it. But I'm confused. I'm mad. I love you, Lord. I love you. But I'm mad at you. I am mad at you. So deliver me tonight, Lord. What should I do? Now tell me. Should I lay hands on myself? What should I do? I know I'm a sinner and a once in a while womanizer, but I'm your servant. Since I was a little boy, you brought me back from the dead. I'm your servant.
Bless his face. This is perfect.
What should I do? Tell me.
Thank you.
I've always called you Jesus. You always call me Sonny. What should I do, Jesus?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So Joy.
That was a face of amazement. Is what
I've never seen this movie, and I am fascinated.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. See, that for those of you guys that are new listeners, it has been years now we've been trying to get Joy to watch The Apostle, and she absolutely, in utter defiance and rebellion, refuses to watch The Apostle. I know that Les will now go watch The Apostle at some point in the next few weeks. Joy utterly refuses.
She even glued her eyelid shut one time.
She refuses to do it.
When we tried
and
to
I
show
said
it to
before
her.
The show, I have
still
a way.
That way.
Listen. I have a way that you will watch The Apostle. It's an absolute guaranteed thing.
Requirement for
and
employment.
Here's
you're just going to play.
No,
because
she would quit. She would like put
she
it in
would.
2 weeks.
She would quit.
I don't want that to happen.
It's true.
But here's what is going to happen. So as long as the Lord takes me home first before you, I will arrange for my wedding day, my funeral
wedding.
Day, my funeral. My funeral, I'm going to arrange
wedding
for
the lamb.
On the big screen while everyone's coming in and the funeral's getting ready to go. It's the Apostle will be playing in high definition.
The entirety of the movie?
You will not. Yes. You will not. You
but
will
she
not
won't come to your funeral,
escape
then.
This world without watching this film.
Jeff, that's going to be a very confusing funeral.
Seriously, I'm sure your heartbroken wife will appreciate that.
I would appreciate it.
I know you would. Looks like this is good choice.
Yeah.
This is good choice. Feel better. All right, guys. Marcus has been quiet this episode, hasn't
Who?
He?
Is he here?
I'm
is
just
he
listening.
All right. We'll be right back, guys. Apologia Radio. We'll be talking about Calvinism. We'll be talking about theology. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks for putting up with our silliness. We'll be right back.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the Lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. Dave Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitik.com.
Welcome back. Don't forget to go to Apologia Studios, apologiastudios.com. Brand new website, guys. Excited for all of you to see it. We have so much really Great content there, important content, and things that I think will really bless you. So ApologiaStudios.com, you go there, you can hit the browse button at the top, you can go and check out all the past radio and podcast episodes, you can check out Sheologians has a link on there, Apologia TV, Apologia After Show, Apologia Academy. There is just so much for you guys to be able to watch and listen to, just be blessed. And you can partner with us by joining All Access, and when you guys do, you get access to everything, and you help make everything we do possible. And so we really, really want to tell you how much we appreciate all of our All Access partners. You guys mean so much to us, and you've just been such a great, great partner in ministry with us to make everything we're doing a reality. So thank you to you, and for all you guys that have not signed up yet, do it. It'll bless you big time. And for all you guys that are at ApologiaRadio.com, everything remains the same. You could stay there with your All Access, but why would you do that? The new website is amazing. It's easy to access. You guys can browse a lot better and just see everything that's there. It's just so much easier. We spend a lot of time and money making sure that we were able to do this in a way that would really be would be done well. And so go to ApologiaStudios.com and transfer from ApologiaRadio.com to ApologiaStudios. So it's just easier, especially like with things like smartphones and things like that. Mm-hmm. That was the one thing about the old website, is that we just needed something to work. But like if you had a smartphone and you wanted to just watch content on your smartphone, it was tough. And I recognize that for all you guys that were like, this is just hard and it's uncomfortable and all that. I get it. And that's why we changed everything. And so Apologia Studios, it's just much more mobile friendly now. And I think you'll really appreciate it. So that's that. Let's talk about Les and the movie. So we have done stuff already now on next week concerning why you did the film and some details there. We did an episode of Apologia TV, a little more detailed. Let's talk about the theology of Calvinist. I think the Reformed theology is the $100 bill of Christianity, right? Like I think that, of course, I know that the Arminians that believe the gospel, love Jesus, our partners many time in ministry, but I think if you think in terms of capital, Christianity is capital, I think that Calvinism, Reformed theology is a $100 bill. And other forms of legitimate Christianity are still genuine currency, but maybe they might be more like a fitty.
Aren't there bills higher than a $100 bill?
I was saying.
Well, for the sake of the argument...
higher than a Calvinist.
I was going to say our friends at Living Waters might think it might be like $1 million.
There ain't no $500 bill.
I don't think there's anything higher than $100 bill.
No, they do.
There's $1 million bill.
There's $1 million.
$1,000 bills exist.
That's not real, though. $1 million bill is not real.
That's a cheesy Christian tract.
Like, how would you pay for it? Like, how would they give you change from
that? What if you lost it?
Right.
$1 million? So, like, Mormonism's like a $3 bill.
No, it's not even genuine currency.
Yeah, yeah, neither is a $3.
Yeah, it's like
Mormonism
Canadian
is,
or something.
Mormonism is pesos.
Oof.
Oh.
It's not American currency.
That's a racist joke.
Okay, it's yen.
All same.
I'm having a really tough time with this analogy.
What do they have in North Korea?
Okay, fine.
What do they have in North Korea?
I'll pick a...
nobody will be upset about
it's
that.
It's Australian dollars.
Galleons.
Euros.
Galleons. That's Harry Potter money. Point, it's not real.
That's the problem in today's
it's
climate.
Monopoly money. Can we say that?
Monopoly money.
In today's climate, I can't even try to give a different country without... Oh, that's your. There's your privilege speaking.
Highly offended.
Yeah, okay.
Is American
I think Mormonism is, Mormonism is just Federal Reserve money.
Fiat.
Oh, that's even better. Much better now.
Anywho. Okay.
So the theology of the Reformation, let's go.
Can we discuss that for a second? Because you're saying, talking about these other genuine expressions of Christianity. And one of the reasons that we can draw that line is because it's a product of the Reformation. Because when Martin Luther and the Reformers rediscovered the gospel, they really discovered what they would call the doctrine on which the church stands or falls,
right,
which is justification by mm-hmm. faith alone, apart from works. So faith in Christ, not with any merit from human beings. By placing our faith in Christ, we receive his righteousness, and he has taken upon himself the sins of individuals. So the reason that we say whether the dividing line on if you're believing the true gospel or not is, do you believe in Jesus Christ and his work on your behalf and receive it by faith alone? And that was that's the huge revelation of the Reformation. And that's why evangelicalism is what it is, and for better or worse. And yeah.
Yes. No, it's, I think it's important because you're right. It's a product of the Reformation to be able to draw from the essentials. And in particular, being a Protestant, you're protesting something. I'd say, I think we're all in agreement. I'd say many people who would consider themselves Protestant today in the West don't understand what that even means.
Yes.
Or what they're protesting. Yes. But it's specifically against the issue of Rome and Rome's distortion of the gospel. And so, yeah, the Reformation gives you that great benefit. Even if you're not Calvinist or specifically Reformed and you hold to the 5 points and covenantal, all those things, you still are a beneficiary of all that the Reformers gave to you. And I just want to add one thing, though, that a lot of people miss is that the way that you said it in our crew, get it. When you say, like, Martin Luther rediscovered the gospel, what's powerful is that one of the things that Martin Luther was pointing to, and he's an Augustinian monk, he's pointing to the fact that he wasn't just saying to Rome, hey, I as this sole individual have come to the Bible all on my own and found some amazing new interpretation that makes me feel much better about myself. He was saying, this is the gospel in Scripture, and hey, by the way, you're not even historic Christianity. You've departed from history. And so
even he struggled with the fact that he was saying the most bold thing he could possibly be saying, and he was terrified by the fact that he would have to stand before God one day, and actually, if he was wrong, he would have to say, I challenged the entire church, and I told them that they were completely, you know, they completely missed the gospel.
Right.
So, it was the Luther against the world at a certain point in history.
Luther contra mundum.
Yep. And that's a terrifying, I know you guys talk about being dangerous. What's the term you use?
Godly troublemaker.
Yeah, a godly troublemaker. Yeah. Like he that Luther is that's a godly troublemaker personified. I mean,
totally.
He should have been killed so many times.
God preserved him.
Yep.
Yeah, it was an amazing, amazing thing. And so, the theology of the Reformation. So you do a movie, and it's the Calvinist movie, and you're highlighting. Well, you're highlighting an aspect of Reformed theology, and that's in the doctrines of grace.
Yeah, so this is so much of what the ties doctrines us of together. Salvation, would be the big emphasis. And then there's so much that comes out of that, and so that's why the movie isn't called Reformed, per se. And even that, I mean, it's sort of a debatable term. Like, can you separate Calvinism from the greater Reformed theology? Yeah, so the focus of the movie is, at least theologically, is what's the condition of man, and who is God, and how do we relate to one another, and how does salvation come to men based on their condition and who God is?
You know what I really like, Les, in the movie that I really appreciated that you put in?
Your parts?
What's that?
With you.
All those Jeff Durbin parts.
No.
I really like those.
Big fan.
No.
Really awesome.
Just kidding.
Yeah, remember that time?
That
was on your film. It was awesome.
It was the fact that you added a really powerful section in there about confessionalism, which I appreciated because I don't know that if you had a lot of Calvinists make a movie on Calvinism, that they would have made the time and gone through the trouble of putting a section in there about confessionalism and how important that is. Because one of the criticisms that Reform folks would get, say, from Rome is the issue of tradition, confession, those sorts of things. You know, you're just sort of going against the church.
Well, he wasn't talking about your confession, Jeff.
I'm glad you're a long way away from me right now. And I saw the movie. Yes, he was. He was talking about historic. Kidding. Oh, come on. Ginger. So
he just feels emboldened because there's another one of his kind.
Right. I know. See, Mark is coming out of his shell. He's yes, press be power.
the London Baptist
Presbyterians like group. So
yeah. So it but so okay. So this is
what do you call a group of Presbyterians.
A Presbyterian?
Like a flock?
It's a gaggle.
Okay.
A gaggle of Presbyterians.
We're getting a gaggle.
I was going to say a horde, but that'll work.
You know what? Okay, can I just say, let's just go into discussion. This is apology radio. We do this kind of thing. One thing I love about Marcus, I love about our relationship and like our relationships with a lot of Presbyterians is I never feel this sense of condemnation going either direction.
Right.
There's so much essential unity that I just never even feel like I can tell the difference when we're together, when we're talking about the gospel right. and God and we're laboring together. There isn't a difference. Marcus has been here for 2 years, full-time executive producer and director. He's a member of Apologia Church. And it's never been a source of tremendous fight and conflict because we have so much essential unity.
It's out there, though.
Baptists still have the $100 bill.
That's right. Is that what you're saying? 1689 is 100, and Westminster is about 90.
Oh, is there a $99 bill?
It's like the euro.
It's a painful thing to even comprehend that you're saying that right now.
Hey, look, it's reforming and always reforming, right?
Yeah, sure.
That's why
sure.
we went from 1646 to 1689. Yeah. So we're just trying to Semper Reformata, dude.
Yeah, you found yourself among the right Presbyterians, apparently, because these debates can get very.
That was what I wanted to emphasize.
Ferocious.
So what I appreciate so much about you and what you're doing and what you did in the film is that you didn't allow for the unnecessary conflict that does happen. And I know guys, I can name guys that I wouldn't want to even have dinner with because mm-hmm. it's such an abusive thing. I'll give you an example. I went to Ireland, and I went to like the hardcore Covenanter
not
Presbyterian.
Facebook, not Facebook
Covenanters. Yeah, these were not American Facebook Covenanters. These were like Irish Covenanters. And I'll tell you the truth, even my son Sage, he went with me. He was my cameraman, sound guy. He did everything for me there as my assistant. He was kind of worried. We're both kind of worried going, these Covenanters are bringing out a Reformed Baptist minister to teach in all their churches and their national conference of all of Ireland. What are they thinking? And in my experience with some people online, it's just I kind of walked into it with some trepidation, like I don't know what to expect. And I'll tell you right now, it was truly one of the greatest times of my life in terms of ministry and the people of God. And they were the sweetest, most amazing Presbyterians, and it was just such a grand experience. I will never forget it.
Yeah.
But there are those that just tend to get a little.
Well, I mean, there's a context in which that discussion has to happen.
Right.
But that wasn't that context. That was a context of unity
right.
and all the things that we agree on. In this movie, it's just not necessary to discuss that particular issue. I could see even myself making a movie to discuss that issue, and I hopefully would do it charitably and lovingly because I was a Reformed Baptist not too long ago. So right. I get it. I really, really do.
You fell into apostasy. And
yeah, right, right.
It's not too late.
It's like I stumbled across a $100 bill on the ground and picked it up. And it's like, oh, this is way better. Yeah, so thank you. So the issues that needed to be discussed were discussed. And you talked about confessionalism.
That was my big praise for the movie was that.
Well, so there's this sort of young Restless Reform movement. It pops up throughout the movie. That's kind of what the movie's about, and that was a big thing for me. I've been sort of in this circle, and even my podcast. If it never did come back, it would literally be the story arc of two young, immature, newly Reformed Calvinists, and then 3 years later, what they've learned about truly, you know, Reformed theology, and even, you know, what it means to live godly lives, and discover more historic understandings of doctrines beyond just the tulip. Mm-hmm. So, confessionalism, I found, is just something that it was a missing piece mm-hmm. to this generation, and as you start to discover it, and then settle in. To the Reformed tradition at large, that's the analogy I use in the movie is the doctrines of grace are like this beautiful diamond that we want to cherish and look at, and you know, but you don't just carry a diamond around, like that's not practical. It needs a setting. It needs a a set place. So that's why you put it in a ring. So, you know, it's not just like in your pocket. So that's how I'm kind of painting the picture of the Reformed tradition, and confessions is the proper setting for which these doctrines belong. You can't just pluck them out.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. So a little excursus here. Marcus, talk about, because I think the film is great. I've said it a hundred times now. I think the film is great. I think it's super well done. I think it's going to shock people that this is Les's first film, just because of the caliber of film it is. But I'd like to see this, Les. Well, let me put it this way. Marcus was a great encouragement for you. His talk at ReformCon, which we will be doing again. His talk at ReformCon was a great encouragement for you. He sort of dropped it into your head to do something like this, and so you did it. You created something amazing and beautiful that's gonna begin to shape the world in very positive ways, I believe, for the kingdom of God. But I like to have your story of what you've just done not only grow into fruition and you do more things. I hope you do. But I like it to be an inspiration for more guys out there that are like on the line and thinking, I would really love to do something like this, but they're just maybe just afraid, or that, you know, they're just afraid to take that step. So let's talk about film. Let's talk about Marcus. Les, talk about your conversation about what you'd like to make in the future. Marcus, the things that you'd like to make, and maybe that can get people a little bit inspired to start thinking this way themselves.
Ooh.
Marcus. Yeah.
Okay. Well, me and Les, we went to dinner last night and we were just talking about, I think, our differences as like what we want to make. And I think we each want to make different things. Like, I'd like to make things that are, or I'd like other people to make like films and movies that are just normal films and movies. So when I say that is, I don't mean like absent of a Christian worldview, because you can't do that. But I mean just like good, like drama. Like, I'm really into television. So I think television is replacing film for now, or it's in the process of it.
Yeah. I think it is too.
Right. So, but there's no Christian television, right? Like, PureFlix just
not since
sitcom.
Touched by an Angel,
right?
Because that was the echelon.
Right. Got about Highway to Heaven though too,
right? So I feel like VidAngel and maybe PureFlix, they're working to get into that. I mean, you have Mormon television. We were talking about this last night. Like, you have Mormons. They created Studio C on the
BYU
network.
Which is really funny, actually.
Which is really funny. Yeah. It's really good.
And I've never seen that show, but I've seen the VidAngel ads, and that guy is like, you can tell he's a comedic genius.
Mm.
Yes, I have no question. And so it's like, how come the Mormons are getting to go on Jimmy Kimmel and talk about their clean sketch show? Like, you know, that should really bother us as Christians.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really theological about that show at all. But they're definitely getting a lot of, you know, attention and publicity to the Mormon church because of it, for sure. So I was talking about how I would just like to see Christians just make good content that's not like heavily theological. And Les, you were talking about how the only thing you want to make really is like really heavy theological content. And so I think we came to the conclusion that like both are okay.
Right. Well, that's what happens in the industry overall. You have people that aren't Christians, and they all have things, movies, stories that they like to make and tell, and that's totally acceptable.
Yeah.
Like in the non-Christian realm in the world, you have people who have different artistic preferences, and so like all that is okay, and we should actually embrace that, because that's impacting in the way that the world's film industry works as well.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I think Marcus is definitely influenced by how much you've thought about this subject, for one. Like, obviously it's something you're very passionate about, and then also just your theology. You know, you're like, you guys are post-mill, you're always talking about engaging the culture and really changing the world. And for me, it's just like a much simpler sort of mission statement of if I have the ability to make something and I have a passion that, I don't know, in a way that I'm going to bless the church with, it's just like, it's maybe the cop-out easy answer, but like, what? Of course it's going to be theological. course it's going to be like teaching doctrine. Like I've told Joy, in the back of my mind, I want to make a movie about the Forgotten Trinity. Literally call it the Forgotten Trinity, which is, you know, that's so obvious that, you know, a theological Christian filmmaker would make a movie about the Trinity or whatever. But so maybe it's just a lack of creativity on my part, where it's like, I don't know what a Christian, you guys are doing it. You guys are doing it well, and you're paving a way too. Like it's so amazing. I know you guys got a lot of crap for like but like people had criticisms about your first episode of next week.
Yeah.
It was on our yard.
But you guys, I mean,
drive my pooping.
He was listening this whole time. I thought he was asleep.
No, but it's amazing. Like I saw that and I was like I don't know, the lighting was a little dim or whatever, but I'm like, this is awesome. Like, give these guys eight episodes. Mm-hmm. By episode eight, they will perfectly have it down and make the best episode ever.
I think it took about four episodes to get the lighting right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. You guys are paving the
way. That's exactly what I was just saying is essentially like, so you would take your place in this industry as more of a documentarian. And then you, just like any documentarian.
Doctrinamentarian.
So just like any other documentarian, you make a documentary about
the things you care about.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there are going to be people that want to tell a story that never happened ever in this world. Like, it was only in your imagination that this happened. Then you're going to have people who, I mean, there could even be people that want to do like reality, Christian reality TV. Like, I don't even know what any of this looks like, but you don't have to thinking either way. If someone who's listening to this is inspired to make a movie or write something or whatever, you don't have to think in a purely theological way.
Yeah, there's kind of like a philosophy thing that kind of, it almost confuses me when it comes to producing sort of maybe like writing or films, that kind of medium. Over, so, you know, there's that famous story, a newly converted guy goes up to Martin Luther and he asks, he says, what should I do now that I'm a Christian? So Martin Luther asks him, what do you do now? He says, I'm a shoemaker. And the guy was assuming that Luther would tell him, quit your job, sell everything you have, become a missionary, or go into full-time ministry. And Luther said, make shoes to the glory of God, to the best of your ability, make them quality. He didn't tell him to stamp a cross on the side or write 316 inside the tongue of every shoe so they're carrying the word of God with them everywhere they go. Like, he just said, do your vocation to the glory of God.
Right.
And so, like, I get, but then when it comes to, like, I don't know, expressing ideas out of the mind of a Christian for the world to consume, that gets confusing for me because, like, I don't know. It almost feels like it needs to be a little more explicitly Christian, but I don't know why I feel that way. Right. I don't know. Like, I'm still, the whole philosophy of the medium is something that I think about a lot, but I don't feel like I have a whole lot of full-fledged answers.
No, it's an interesting thought especially for the storytellers that are Christian.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very interesting to know what is, because I've written in my life mostly poetry, and it's difficult to write something and then just be like, well, this is Christian because I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
Like I do, you feel that draw to be like, oh, I have to write a poem about praising God.
Yeah, why am I wasting my time saying something beautiful if it's not about God?
Well, like, so here's the thing.
What other beauty is there?
Here's, we had on Sheologians, we had a great episode with Karen Swallow Pryor, and we don't agree with her on all of our theology or by any means. But she talked about the importance of the story in the Christian's life and in all of our lives. And she said something that I thought was amazing, which is that we tell ourselves stories all day, whether it be about what that jerk in the next car just did and why they did it. And we just think and we tell stories all the time. And so there really is something like in the realm of creativity, there's something God-given that allows us to tell a story. And then obviously it'd be very easy to just say, well, if you're a Christian, your story shouldn't include, especially if it's a visual story like a movie, it shouldn't include certain things because that's not glorifying to God. But it gets weird. I know exactly like, what like, you're talking like, about.
How can a story play out from beginning to end, and not to say that you have to have the moment where the cast gathers around the cross and gives their life to Jesus,
right.
But like how can I just don't understand how a Christian can make that movie, and it not like be to some degree like giving glory to God.
And it, like, can I answer that?
Do we? Yeah, please.
Answer that,
please.
So I think it has to do with frame of reference. So I'll give you an example of two examples. One, let's say that you had a filmmaker, a storyteller that wants to tell a story, make a film about an aspect of the Holocaust, right? And then you have a second example of somebody who creates an entire series of a fictional universe. Now, somebody might say, okay, well, how do I make that, like, from a biblical perspective and ultimately about God? You can do it in both, even though the one's a fictional universe. Because you look at, say, something like Lord of the Rings,
right,
or Narnia, right, there's no explicit mention of God, Jesus. There's no explicit mention of Bible. But in Tolkien's universe, he still has a universe where his perspective is that universe is still a universe that God is in.
Right, because, so there's a redemptive
because
quality.
When he's telling a story, it's from the reference of God hasn't left even this universe, so there's still evil and injustice, and good must conquer all. Like, so that's
right.
It's Christian ultimately.
But that one's even. I mean, it's an allegory as well.
True.
So there's
right.
even
but
more
no
blatant.
Explicit. Right. Like I haven't said
sure.
Jesus, but so it's frame of reference. And I'll.
Yeah.
My other example would just be. Can I, as a Christian, make a movie that's glorifying to God about the Holocaust? I think you can. And because you can show sin for what it truly is.
But are you just presenting brute facts with no moral of the story?
No, because I think, like, say, for example, I make a movie. If you and I were working on a film together about the Holocaust, I'll bet because of our frame of reference, if we told a story of an injustice, say in a concentration camp, we would play out the human drama surrounding the injustice and the pain to paint the story of the wicked person as truly wicked and to play out the story of the sin in a way that shouts to ultimately the evil that it truly is. You know what I'm saying?
So we're actually saying the same thing.
Right.
Because I'm not saying anything needs to be explicit, and I was thinking specifically about Tolkien and C.S.
Right.
Lewis. But you're right. Like, even if you told just a history documentary, it has to be redemptive to some degree, because I think it's innate in us, or it would literally be, I would venture to say, or I'm tempted to say, a sinful waste of time to make a movie of brute facts from the perspective of a Christian, or, you know, from the hands of a Christian that doesn't say anything about the nature of man and the nature of God.
Because watch this. So you got our scenario we just played out. You and I are working on a film together about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
How would we play out the human drama? How would we talk about the injustices? How would we display wickedness as true wickedness, right?
Yeah.
People would walk away with just angst and pain and tears in their eyes over the abuse that they saw, right? That's because we made it, because Christ is our reference point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no explicit mention of Jesus at all. It's history. But we would play it out and dramatize it in such a way as to show what it truly was.
At least leave them for a need or like a yearning for something greater.
Yeah, and pain.
Yeah.
We would like show sin as sin.
Mm-hmm.
But now give a camera and a crew to Stalin and say, I'd like you to make me a good film, tell a story about what you're doing in Russia. Would it be different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Germans were doing it. They were making their own little documentaries.
Yeah.
To,
do you see? Mm-hmm. So like, that's my point is, like, I don't think that Christians have to walk with so much fear over, man, I got to squeeze Jesus in here somewhere, because you get to tell God's stories, even about history.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I'm saying is, not as a debatable issue, but as an excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can really do this better than they are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess both of us are saying in different words that you can't make art out of a position of neutrality.
No. Right, exactly.
No,
right.
No.
You can't do
it
out of a position.
Right. Yeah. Well, and even when you see someone who's not a Christian make a movie that's consistent, that's just because God's law is written on their heart.
Yeah.
Like, they understand what's good and what's bad. Would that make sense? But you're right. It is sort of like weirdly philosophical.
Yeah. And then we see this like this new movement, like all the, it seems like modern movies end in such a nihilistic worldview.
Yeah.
And it just leaves you sort of empty. And that's that, like that I get like a visceral reaction out of those movies. Mm-hmm. Like it leaves me like depressed. Even if nothing crazy, like, you know, sad happened in the movie, just it like feeds you this worldview and leaves you feeling empty. That sucks.
So like, let's say, what if you had, take a series like Dexter. Now give the script and give freedom to two different directors.
Mm.
Now this is your story. Here's the plot. Mm. This is the guy. He is warped and mixed up, and this is what he does to people. Give the script and give money to two different directors, one Christian and another one an atheist, and just say to them, you have creative freedom here, but this is the main thing. You're going to have two entirely different series because of how the story is told.
And a much better finale.
And a much better finale. And so
that would be such a cool movie to get two budgets together and have two different filmmakers, like two, you know, one atheist and one Christian.
Right.
That would be so cool. And then just play the movies back to back.
Right. I think there would be intersection.
There you go. There's your next project.
Here's you always have a control in a task like this, right? There's a control. Here's the challenge, is that it's impossible at this point in history in the West to get that to look completely nihilistic and atheistic, because atheists can't shake their Christianity loose.
Right.
Because of the influence of Christianity in the West, they still would create a film that was somewhat, it would have injustice and pain. There would be something speaking to the not rightness of the situation.
And almost always some sort of redemptive message in the end.
Because they can't shake God loose.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the influence of the gospel. # That post mill.
Oh, okay.
I think... The River Thief is a good example of what we're talking about. I don't know if you've seen that.
I haven't seen it, but Marcus was raving about it yesterday.
It's a pretty good little film, but it's an example of there's nothing allegorical in it,
right?
You know, but there's still like a redemptive story. And so that would be an example of something we're talking about where like you don't have to throw Jesus and the gospel in it, but you can still glorify God and be redemptive when telling the story from a Christian worldview.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm totally on board with
that. I think that's where the mix up happens. We're saying more Christians need to make better art. But you look around and a lot of the movies you see that exist currently would look very similar to the ones that are like you said, they can't shake it loose. So it would look similar to a movie that someone who's not a Christian made. So it wouldn't be anything new. It would just be a Christian using a story that is good and holy and true, and that may look like movies that already exist that Christians didn't make. But that's only because they, you know, God's law is written on their heart.
Yes.
They know what's good.
So influenced. They can't go all the way. They can't pull the plug and drain all of the themes out completely because of who they are as image of God, but also because of, if you're making a movie in the West, you're making a movie in light of a culture that was so heavily impacted by the gospel and the biblical worldview, so there would be a control feature there that you wouldn't have, right?
Yeah.
In the hypothetical scenario of Stalin, it would look very different.
Right.
Yeah.
This conversation makes me even more angry at the Christian like media machine.
Yeah.
Because you're right, like Hollywood stories are organic in the sense that they're coming out of the mind of the culture, at least. And they don't have an agenda beyond, you know, like just I'm a filmmaker and I'm trying to make, but like the Christian film industry is literally like manufacturing manufacturing like what do Christians want and then putting this stuff together.
It's like an algorithm.
They built a genre. They said you got to fit this.
Right.
Yeah, but there's nothing organic about it, and they're literally just like, and you can tell it's not organic because it's terrible. Like it's just so shallow.
It'd be like having a robot
Yes.
To just generate paintings.
Christian like, bought 5,000.
Right. Now I paint Christian painting. Yes. Like,
yeah.
It just, it's not technically not there.
Terrible.
And yeah, and even though like the theology in those glorify God, the rest of the movie does not because it's terrible.
Even the theologies not, run through the algorithm.
Right, oh right. Gosh,
I know,
just enough of the Christianese to satisfy the viewer.
Right, but my point is like the rest of it is done so terribly. It's not done to the best of their abilities. Yeah. Like, how does that glorify God at all?
Right.
And we were just talking the other day.
It's really only just that they said God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking the other day. What is it? Marcus? Is it Exodus
35?
Yeah, but I think it was actually in 33, maybe, but somewhere in there where the first instance in Scripture of a man being indwelt by the Holy or by the Spirit was a craftsman. Hmm. It's the first instance in the Bible. It's someone that was crafting things. He was an artist. He was making things for the temple. And that's the first instance of someone being filled with the Spirit.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but like that's just that whole idea is that it's gone out the window, essentially. But, it seems like what we're talking about.
The problem is though, and this is kind of what we were talking about is, it's easy for Christians to embrace like a theological film, like Calvinists, right? Like that's like we've already accepted those are okay. But if you make a film that's just, even like allegorical or just a good film from a Christian worldview, even that's redemptive or whatever, like Christians don't want that because they've been fed the K-Love narrative.
They want the shoe with the cross on it.
Right. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right. And so, yeah, they want the in and out cup with a Bible verse on the bottom.
Right.
Like that's what they think they have to have. And so the Christians now, they have two options. One, they can fight against this market that is rebelling against them, or they can just go and make stuff for the world. And so I think what we're trying to do at Apologia is like make that middle road that doesn't exist yet and say like it's okay to just make great stuff.
Can I ask I don't know how this question is going to come across, but like, so grand scheme of things, like you're saying the two options are fight against what's been prepackaged and fed to us, or just embrace it. But, like, do we have to watch TV and movies? You know, like, is it important? Is this medium important enough to redeem? What would be wrong with abandoning it altogether?
I have an answer for this.
You go first.
So I would say that movies and TV are a modern progression of print books, which have been, and before print, it was words, just storytelling out of your mouth. And so it's something that's always been a part, of humankind and culture. And, I would even just say the way that the Genesis account, the story of creation, is written, shows that we have a storytelling God. I don't mean storytelling in the way that he like tells the, a fisherman story or anything like that. Like Fable. I caught a,
Well, can I just say real quickly?
Yeah.
Look at Jesus' ministry. Some of Jesus' most memorable moments are all story.
Yeah, parables. Yeah. Yep.
Well, and look at the Great Commission too. He tells us to go where? So all of the world, right? Mm-hmm. Not all of the world except for this area and except for that area, because those areas are off limits and sinful. We're to go into all of the world.
You don't think he means geographically into all the world?
I would say
yes.
I would say an application would be all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me.
Yeah.
That would be over every realm.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think geographic is the point of where they were supposed to go. Go ahead though.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah, so I don't think there's anything we have to indicate that storytelling isn't important.
Yeah, I hear you.
And this is just how we tell stories now. I mean, I definitely encourage people to continue
reading
books. But
well, I think, if I could just say quickly, to borrow Jesus' metaphor, I think that the leaven is already in the lump.
Yep.
When it comes to movies, television,
right.
It's all the media, it's the leaven's in the lump.
Yeah.
It's in there.
Yeah.
You're not getting it out.
Yeah.
And so if this is a medium of storytelling, then we're either going to have stories told to us and to our kids that are not consistent with Jesus and what he would want us to think and know, or we're going to actually get into this area and say, no, my God's a storyteller. He's the master of it. This is something that belongs to God and to his people. And since the meek inherit the earth, I think that it's something we have to start engaging in. And I think, here's the thing, I think what you did is great. And that's an absolutely necessary medium in use of this. And then there's also this whole other aspect over here. And here's the thing, I think I should say this because it can sound, people might misinterpret what we're saying and think, oh, you're pompous and arrogant and you guys are the expert film critics and you know everything about everything. The truth is, no, we don't.
No, there isn't. The point is there isn't anybody.
Yeah, the point is what we're saying is this. I've never even made a movie. Like in terms of, I don't have a movie in the theaters. Like, so no, the point is as a Christian, I know what God's standards are for art and for beauty and for story. And so as Christians, we ought to be the ones saying with authority, we know what ought to be done here. Even if I haven't actually created a $20 million film, I know what's supposed to be there. So my word is just saying, here's a kick in the pants for either us to get moving on it or somebody to get moving on it. Like, just go and right. create and make and make something beautiful. Because we're the ones that have the God who makes sense of stories.
Mm-hmm.
So we should right. be telling them.
Well, and you say that you tend to be geared towards the theological stuff, but like all the beautiful animation that's in Calvinist isn't like, that's not necessary for theology, right?
Yeah. So
the best thing about Calvinist isn't even that it's about Calvinism. Like, that's a great part of it.
But another great part of it
is that you put a lot of time and production value into it, and you put a flourish on it that was very artistic.
Yeah,
with
it kind of goes back to what you're saying. Like if you start to write a poem as a Christian, let's just say you write 5 lines of a poem.
Right.
Like, did I just waste my time in writing 5 lines of a poem? You make it as beautiful and eloquent and like shining and glory in the way that it was worded and all that, but the question is, did it glorify God? Like, did what just came out of your hands, was it just like sterile and like purposeless right. and glorified you, or did you write that art for the purpose of glorifying God?
Right.
So, you know, with this movie, I'm an artist and I'm visual and all these things. So, like, obviously, I knew I wanted to make it look, you know, pretty in all those ways. But the question was, you know, why am I doing this?
You wanted to look at it and say that it was good?
I did. I'm still not sure that it is, but it is. But yeah.
But you definitely wouldn't have put it out if you didn't watch it and say,
well, no, that's not like that's like Marcus was saying this from the very beginning, like even before I even started making it, when he talks about Babies Are Murdered here, like the plight of the filmmaker is, at some point, how you know you're finished is when the deadline comes and you
right.
have to send it off.
Any artist knows the moment where you're like, this is not perfect for me, but it needs to go up on the wall.
Yep.
Or it needs to go up on the screen.
That's a weekly struggle for Marcus.
Whatever.
Come 6:55 on Tuesday.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
So, well, and that's where that separates.
That's true.
Saw that it was good. That separates us from like our humanity and God.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. So we'll never actually, not in the same way that God did.
That's
anyway.
Awesome. God is the only one who ever looked at his creative artistic work and said,
right.
this is really good.
Right.
Like, for me, I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. God wasn't having second guesses. Yeah. Like, well, it's the end of the sixth day. I guess I'm done.
Well, I think if you look at like the first episode of next week, it's like, it was all right, but it had to go up.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It had to go up. Like at right. that point, like we just have to go. It's got to go up, and then we'll just improve as we go along. And so a lot of people just see the first episode, and they're like, "Oh, this is terrible Christian." You know,
a lot of people saw the teaser.
Yeah,
that
right.
we put out. That's and they were right. like, no thanks.
Right,
no.
which was I like a rehearsal.
So, it was literally a rehearsal.
Yeah. So, you know, like just, and you can do that for every show, though. Because if you go back, if you watch like the pilot of Seinfeld, it's really terrible. Elaine isn't even casted. There's a waitress that's one of the main female characters. And they got rid of her, got Elaine in there. So, I mean, like all shows, like they start off with their pilot. And
right.
And they get better as they go along.
Someone argue Breaking Bad seasons 2 and on are far greater than season 1.
Season right. 4 is yeah. unbelievable.
Yeah, for yeah. sure.
Well, and like wasn't Jesse supposed to die in the first
one? He was supposed
yeah.
to die in the first one, yeah.
So like because we can't look at our creation and say that it's good the same way as God, that's how art looks for the human Christian, which is
better.
A progression.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I will say,
and it was God made everything great, and we destroyed it.
Right, we made his art bad.
Yep.
One last word I'll say is that you guys brought up the conversation of poetry, and this gets like deeply philosophical, but it's true and it's unavoidable. Is that poetry isn't beautiful, it isn't good, it isn't anything without Jesus. Mm. So whether you mention him or not,
right.
without the Trinity. Without the biblical worldview, poetry is meaningless because there's no need for symmetry if you don't have a God who makes things in an orderly way. You don't have class concepts. It's a philosophical thing and it's deep, but it's true. You can't get class concepts without the biblical worldview. You can't have immaterial, abstract entities like
there's no metaphors.
Thoughts.
There's no metaphors.
There's no metaphors.
You can't compare the sound of the tree, wind in the trees, to the ocean.
Nope.
That doesn't make any sense.
Nope. No, because you can't have class concepts. You can't say the barn is red, ultimately, in any meaningful way, without Jesus.
The wheelbarrow red?
You can't say
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, that was a little poetry nerd
Was it really?
Joke.
Okay. So,
William Carlos Williams.
Okay, oh, there you go.
Whatever. Shoop, yeah. right a whole bunch head. Of dummies over here.
No, okay, but I'll encourage you guys, go check out Bonson, a Presbyterian. On presuppositional apologetics, specifically stuff about the world of thought.
Duckness.
The world of duckness, yep. That's right. the idea of class concepts you can't have without the Trinity. You can't have poetry mean anything at all. Because here's the thing. If all of us truly are just the results of bacteria that moved along in a purposeless universe to get us here, then you don't have immaterial anything, and you don't have abstract entities like thoughts and class concepts and those sorts of things. You just don't.
And if writing and language is a societal, if it's like a conventional thing,
yeah.
then poetry is just breaking all the rules and we should just get rid of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And so here's the thing. Make great poetry. And here's the thing. Watch this. Every time an atheist writes down the most beautiful prose and he uses the most powerful metaphors and you know, you read something an atheist writes down that's amazing poetry, it's perfect. Every time he writes it, he's testifying to the image of God that's in him because he can't really do that with what he believes about the world. And so whether it's got an explicit mention of Jesus or not, every bit of good poetry testifies to the goodness of Jesus. That's true.
Amen.
So there you go. We didn't plan on going here today.
No.
Great.
No, but it was great.
But I think it was great. Yeah. Marcus, any last words?
No.
All right. So that was great, Les. Thanks for coming all the way from Florida.
I know. I'm pretty sure Les is the reason why we just had this conversation.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome.
Less is more.
So thank you.
No, thank you guys so much for having me. Thanks
Less
for all
is
your
more.
Graciousness.
I was
Less
actually going to ask
more.
You.
No,
I've never
heard that before in my life.
Less is more.
See, okay. So I can, I always, people who have names that, are
that
words or are close to words.
Yeah.
She knows.
Like we have.
Right.
We have this camaraderie.
Have this yeah.
And so I always, it's like the question I always want to ask people that have word names. Like, what are the ones you always hear?
Yeah.
Less is more.
Less is more. I felt really brilliant when I was 16 and I discovered that if I ever wrote an autobiography, it would be called The Road Less Traveled.
Oh,
that's really good.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, and you can only make sense of that with Jesus.
That's right.
My parents named me right when Star Wars came out.
Right.
They didn't know nothing about Star Wars, and sometimes I don't like them for that.
Yeah.
Because I have my whole life heard,
Luke,
I'm
your father.
Like, every day of my life.
I have the worst name. I really do.
Like, you should just start going by Jay Wayne.
Jeff is like
No. Go by JD.
JD.
No.
Come on.
No.
What is wrong with you?
You're not a JD.
Does that have like a negative connotation?
Less land fear.
What are we?
Are you joking?
Yes, I'm very much joking.
Okay. So
more or less.
I always said if you did like
more
a
more or less
a pen name. His pen name should be Jay Wayne Durbin.
Yep. So thank you guys. ApologiaStudios.com. Don't neglect this great opportunity to bless an amazing filmmaker. Here's what I want to happen. I want Les to make $1 million on this film because I want him to make a ton more. I want you to quit your job and just make movies for the rest of your life. So let's help Les. That should be like a hashtag. Get Les $1 million.
And move to Phoenix.
Yes.
And move to Phoenix.
Get Les $1 million so he can continue to make great things, even better than this. So let's do it. So go buy the film, CalvinistMovie.com. Buy the 5-pack of film.
It was like they sell it on a film reel.
Yeah, film reels, yeah.
Yeah. And
hashtag they make Les a millionaire.
They got every form of media on there.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Betamax.
Laserdisc.
You can hire someone to just tell you the story. Read it to you.
It's called the Bible. That's already been written.
Dang.
Get it, guys?
Yeah. Get Les $1 million. All right, guys. So ApologiaStudios.com. That's where you go. Get more stuff. Share with your friends. Love you guys. Thank you for joining us.